This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, everybody, let's take a quick call before we get onto the program. Hi, who's this?
Oh, hi, it's Courtney.
Hi, Courtney. What's going on?
Hey, well, I have a problem, and I'm going to try and make it as clear as possible for you. A few years ago, I had my gallbladder removed, and I've gained a lot of weight since then because I wasn't really informed, and I wasn't watching my diet, and I have a long history of depression and things like that. So I gained about 40 or 50 pounds, and now I finally have the motivation to lose this weight, but it's still very hard. And my long-term boyfriend, I just met his family, and they're very focused on appearance, and so their judgmental comments about my weight has really shattered my confidence, and I don't know, I'm not really sure what to do because it's kind of making me spiral and, making me want to eat more, and so I don't know how I'm going to lose this weight.
How much weight are you trying to lose?
Oh, God, 40 pounds.
Have you thought about working with a dietitian?
I did for a little while, and it actually worked, but my insurance wasn't paying for it. So
could you afford to see him or her a couple more times?
I guess I could try.
Because having that supportive presence of another person really makes a difference, especially when you're having all these emotional reactions to what's going on.
Yeah.
You need somebody in your corner, you know? You need somebody supporting you, helping you, coaching you. Because on your own, it sounds like you're just spiraling.
Yeah, I mean, my boyfriend is really supporting me with this,
good.
But I'm lacking a lot of self-control because I don't know. I guess I could do that.
I think that would be the move because demanding something of yourself when you're really feeling so ambivalent and so angry and it's kind of an acting out behavior you're doing here. These people are making
really?
You so angry you're taking it out. Well, it's acting in. You're acting on yourself that they make you feel bad about yourself and you make you angry, and so you take it out on yourself by overeating. And and that's tough. That's painful. And that's something that you kind of need is a real supportive other who understands these things to help you with that. And then whatever the diet is that you guys have worked on in the past, just get going. It's really about getting going, I think, I suspect. And once you get back on the track and get in the habit and start feeling better about yourself, it'll be sort of self-fulfilling.
Do you think that losing that amount of weight could be done by the end of the year?
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. At least something getting close, you know, certainly 20, 30 pounds for sure.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So get call the dietitian. Invent. You know, your health is worth it, right?
Yeah.
So let's do that. All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good luck. All right. Let's go and talk about our friends at Lumosity.com. Don't forget, they have an online personal trainer for your brain. That's right. There's an app. You go to Lumosity.com. It gives you quick daily online workouts for the brain. It's based on the science of neuroplasticity. There are breakthrough games there that help you become more sharp, better problem solver, remember things better. As I keep saying, I use these games to kind of get myself focused and help with memory and recall and name recalling, things that I have difficulty with. Lumosity gives you the edge you need to succeed. Certainly no harm in going over there. And indeed, in addition to the games, there's these feedback mechanisms that let you know how you're doing, how you're progressing. You get to design the program specifically to your own needs and your own goals. And I think you should go. There's no harm in doing it. And you can start training with Lumosity.com today. You go to Lumosity.com, you click on the Start Training button, and you can begin for free. Head on over to Lumosity.com. Tell them you heard it from me, Dr. Drew. Now enjoy the show. Welcome to the Dr. Drew Podcast. A reminder before we get going here, please click through on that Amazon banner and also check out some of the groovy tunes, the swingin' tunes, Dr. Drew Podcast, which you're listening to right there, a whole selection through iTunes on our website, What's that, Chris? You want to say something about it?
No, I'm just I'm agreeing with you.
Yes, they're good, right? People seem to like it. Also, check out The Boy with the Gun by Brandon Stockdale. It's not a waste of time. It'll be a time well spent learning about how someone can go from being a severe criminal to changing and becoming a therapist that actually helps other kids in similar situation. And finally, please do be sure to support the organizations Adam and I talk about here on the show. These are the people that that support the show, make it possible for us to do it, and we need to support their products. And when we say we use them, we actually do. And speaking of Adam, his lovely wife, Lynette, is here.
Hi, Dr.
What,
Drew.
What a coincidence. Lynette Carolla. Twitter handle is at Lynette Carolla. Her podcast, I think everyone is aware, is For Crying Out Loud, is every Friday on iTunes. Also, you can get it from the Carolla website and the Adam Carolla app. Her website is cryingoutloud.com. And because I'm such a good friend of Lynette's.
All right, hold on 1 second. You can find Lynette on Twitter at Lynette Carolla. You can follow the show at Ace Moms, and the website is cryingoutloudshow.com.
Gary, obviously a huge fan of the show and a driving force behind it.
He's our producer.
I know that.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Drew.
Oh, my pleasure. And because I'm such a good friend, I brought back somebody I thought you'd enjoy speaking
to. Let's
get
those stupid plugs out of the way so that I got questions.
Abe Abdelhadi is back with me, so let go at it.
Abe, I know. I'm.
Well, let me set up who Abe is. Yes. Abe Abdelhadi was the guy that dated Jody Arias. Lynette is obsessed with the Jody Arias trial, so I'm going to have her.
Not.
Well, Lynette's especially obsessed, and she's like, she like texted me during the show, and I was talking to you. She's like, ask him this. Ask him this. So when we started, you know, Lynette wanted to do the podcast. I said, well, let's bring some of the players in from our HLN program, so because I know what a fan she is of the show and of the input you guys have had. Let's bring somebody like Abe, who's actually dated Jody Arias, back into the mix here so Lynette can have Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hi, Gabe. Thank you.
Abe.
I said Abe.
Sounded like Gabe.
That's
okay.
I know. Abe Abdelhadi.
Close.
Did I say
we're almost related. Abdelhadi.
Abdelhadi. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's how much I've seen him on television. Well, first I want to say I think it's very impressive that I don't know if you guys talked about this on Drew's show, that you don't do any of the other shows. You just do Drew's show.
Right.
And I just told you that off the air. But I think that's very – there. I respect that a lot.
Oh, well, it's not like I'm defying gravity, but thank you.
I know, but you know how people are. I mean, all of a sudden they have the spotlight and they can talk, and you know, I'm sure everybody's asked you and pulled you in different directions and asked you to be on their show, especially the HLN channel. And the fact that you don't and you say no is pretty impressive.
He is has a committed relationship with my executive producer. They're like deeply involved
that's
with one
right.
another.
That's
he and Bert have a love affair that seems to be
not quite Brokeback Mountain.
It's going that way, yeah. Just so you know.
Abe has the sense of humor too, which is great.
Yes. Oh, no. He's a great guest. And during the podcast I did with him, I learned a lot more about what went on with he and Jody. They dated a bit.
Okay. So, all right. Well, this is my – I know that you and Drew live in the same area.
Right.
And that's where you – in that area, you had a date with Jody.
Yeah.
Several dates.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is – and again, I'm sorry if you guys already talked about this.
No, but this – I want to hear your take on it. I'm fascinated.
Well, where – she's from Yreka. Where did Pasadena come in her route? You know what I mean?
Oh, she was living in Palm Springs at the time. And then she came out to Pasadena to do her hair. She had a colorist in Pasadena that she liked quite a little bit. That's how
– okay.
You know, we hung out for a bit, not like going out. We just like socially, and then we had a lunch date, and then a date where we fucked around a little bit, which was fun.
Okay.
And then a couple days after that was when she called me, telling me she was getting back together with Travis. I had no idea they were even dating, and that's how that. And then we stayed friends for the next year and a half before she killed him.
Okay, so you guys, you and Jody, I thought also you didn't meet at a convention or at a work thing.
We met at a work thing.
Okay, so. That's
not the same one that she met Travis at, but we had met at a work thing a few months before we actually
met. And where was that work?
In
Orange County.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a training day thing, and my friend – I have a good friend that introduced us that day, and I tease him all the time because he could have been David Hughes. Because him and his wife would give me gas that morning. You need to get married. And he sees me sitting in the same row as Jody. We're like the two seats apart. And he hits me in the shoulder. Hey, man. And he's doing the head guy nod thing.
And then he hits her.
No, to me. Yeah. And then I go, yeah, I'll get on. Just shut up. I saw her. You know. So then he hits her on the shoulder. He goes, hey, I'm Bob. This is my wife. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, do you know Abe? And the magic began.
Oh, so tell me, can I ask you about that, man? You guys went on a – because
– We had a couple lunches. I only had my hands on her once.
Which is when you touched her G-string.
Thong, specifically.
And boobs.
And boobs. Is her boobs real?
Yeah, no. they're not real.
They felt
they're not real.
They're not real.
Yeah, they're not real.
You know, Drew,
because we reported on it.
We talked about it an hour ago.
All right,
that's fine.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay, so you messed around a couple times. Now, did she seem sincere with you that she was looking to get into a relationship?
And this is why I didn't fit the bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was very blunt. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was 43, right? So right. I'm like, I don't want kids. I don't want to get married.
You just
want
to have sex with her.
My example was always Jackie Onassis. You know, before she died for 20 years, she was dating that Jewish jeweler, Maurice Templesman guy, for like 20 years.
Right.
And he had a nice relationship. He had his apartment. She had her apartment. Even though she was Catholic, he was Jewish. Didn't matter. They had a nice little thing. They'd go to Paris for the week, come back. And, you know, they seemed to have a nice time. He'd see her Tuesdays, Thursdays, and the weekends.
Right.
And he was even at the funeral, front row.
That's what you want?
Yeah.
That's what I want.
That was my pitch. That's a hard pitch for women. Wow. I'm like, I want a companion.
That's what every guy wants.
I want to keep you. I want to keep my place. You keep your place. I'm thinking that's what. And she goes.
We'll talk about that later.
And she's like, I don't know if that's something I'm. You know, she's telling me. Well, I don't know. You know, and like, because she wanted. And that's why I think Travis represents, in all sincerity. I mean, I think Travis represented something that she thought she wanted because he was religious.
Right.
He all his friends were married with kids. And she wanted the same life that he thought he could promise her, and I didn't fit that bill.
Mm-hmm. But Lynette, he maintained a good, you know, he was a good guy friend for girls. And so he, after he attempted to consummate, she said, no, I'm getting back with my boyfriend. He said, okay, cool. And he's maintained a friendship. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that after having talked to him about this, in that, was it 10 months, 11 months?
It was almost a year.
11 months. She thought they were having a relationship.
What? Really?
Like there was building toward, like, imagine the way an adolescent male would imagine if a girl kept being nice to him,
like a
friend.
Right.
That's
right.
The way she was thinking of him. So when Travis, there was a date when she finally called him and went, we have a problem. We have to stop this.
It was almost a year of being, quote, I thought friends.
Right.
And then she's like, we got a problem. He knows about us. And I go, what us? We dated. Yeah. We had a date a year ago.
Right.
When you weren't even together.
Do you think that's true that he knew about you and was jealous?
She used it.
She did.
Oh, yeah. Even on the recorded sex call, he's talking shit on me because of the crap she told him. Oh. And it's so not his fault.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow.
But the whole, she's so fucked up. It's possibly true. Mm-hmm. It could have all been a ruse, but it's a pretty hard ruse to maintain for that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think on some level she believed, well, I've got this guy I'm seeing, this Abe guy on the side, and we're close, and we're working it out.
And here's what's really funny. You may not
can
know
imagine, you can imagine a really weird, immature woman thinking that, right?
Yeah.
You can imagine
of course. Yeah.
And what's really funny, I mentioned this to Drew a couple of times before, but I had not seen her physically after we went out that one night, except for a couple of business events. We were only ever talking on the phone. So I didn't get a sandwich with her, never got a coffee with her.
You were just phone mates.
Yeah, like she called me up if I'm going to a meeting. Every 2-3 weeks she'd talk on the phone. It wasn't like some thing.
Was she the one that sort of – because it's usually one.
In the beginning she called me because my whole attitude was, okay, I barely know the chick and whatever. And it was great and I'm not going to get any, so fuck it. So a couple weeks later she calls me and she's like, hey, just had you on the heart. Want to see how you're doing. That was her phrase all the time.
Had you on the heart?
Yeah, all the time. That was her big phrase.
Dude, that's awesome. Oh, had you on the heart?
But see, to me that's all that
– oh, shit.
I didn't take it as anything different other than she's in a hypo-spiritual
things people say a little bit. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Well, I say God bless your heart all the time. I'm not the matronly mom making cookies. I mean,
you on the heart.
Yeah. And she's like, I just was thinking of you.
It's like as if she's thinking, well, not consciously, but as if she's going through motions the way people are supposed to act.
Yeah.
So there, she's reaching out to Gabe to say hi. Say hi. And, thinks of a phrase to say because she's trying to act
I crossed her mind and whatever. So and the first time she called me, I was like, hey, nice to hear from you. Chit chat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, a couple weeks later, a month later, she gave me a call. And then finally I got in the habit of like, okay, give her a call. Hey, what's going on? But it was like every couple of weeks, chit chat and maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. The pattern of the call was always the same. The pattern of the call was always ostensibly, because she was in the same business as me.
Mm-hmm.
Was always 15, 20 minutes of, getting tips. I'm having a challenge with this thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sales
tips.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it would devolve into, Travis isn't committing. What do you think that is? Another.
Damn.
And then crap that sounds like prophecy now.
Yeah.
If I can't have him, I don't know what I'll do. I love him so much and he'd be such a great father for me. No, when girls say that kind of crap, you don't think they're going to kill the guy if they can't have him. It's girl shit, right?
Right. But doesn't that also seem like that would push the guy away that you're becoming friends? I don't know.
I don't give a shit because it's like, here's the thing, I don't have an agenda. Listen, if I'm like, this is the thing.
Did she know? Do you think she knew that you didn't have an agenda?
I would tell her about girls I was going out with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how that turns on another girl. Like, hey, bang this chick last night was awesome. I mean, if you're my friend, I'm going to treat you like my friend.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I don't have this.
But again, so she understood that.
No, but she didn't. Not clear what she understood.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Well,
yeah. We're talking normal people.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing to us. It's amazing to us because we're like normal-ish,
right.
As normal as we're going to be. But
right.
Like, she's out of her fucking mind. She's the person who takes raspberry juice and puts it into a car and then is mad about that and it doesn't work. And then we marvel that she's mad about that. You put raspberry juice in the car. But it's supposed to work because I willed it to.
Yeah, okay. The secret.
Fucking crazy person.
Yeah, the secret.
She's like the woman.
By the way, the secret to me is one of the most poisonous.
Diabolical pieces of shit ever fucking
made.
Yeah,
because it's encouraging primitive thinking.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's like, imagine it so, it will be so. Mm-hmm.
And you know what pisses me off about The Secret? If you Google anybody in that movie, the guy that's like, I went to the mailbox and it was $10,000. You Google the guy,
yeah.
And he happens to be a best-selling author
right.
Who sells CDs. Yeah, if I'm a plumber, I don't will for 10 grand to fucking show up. You got to sell a book. It's got to sell some copies, and then they send you a fucking check.
Right.
Or they get this other guy. I forgot his name now, but he was like this big like almost a Tony Robbins-level guy. Mm-hmm. And he had this mansion house that he had on his dream board that he was visualizing for 7 years, and then he had
now he's probably
to
in jail.
No, he's still he's still happening. I want to name the guy's name, but he's still a happening guy. But he's talking about how he visualized it enough, and he finally got the house. Dude, you've been a best selling author for 15 fucking years.
Right.
Of course, you got the money.
Right.
But if you're temping at Bank of America, you're not going to get the fucking $7 million house.
Right. But
poisonous thinking.
And then it blames people that have bad things happen. Well, you were just in the wrong headspace. Oh. They literally the people that were in that back in the day. It was big in the time when that tsunami hit, and they started blaming the victims of the tsunami. Well,
I've actually heard seminars that tried to explain that phenomenon that you had enough people that had bad Magumbo going, and they drew the tsunami to themselves. You know, like last I checked, and I'm not even a religious guy, but one thing that cracks me about the whole Adam and Eve thing, it's like they fucked up. It was cool here, then they fucked up, and now we live this way. So the world is this way because tsunamis happen and people fuck each other's kids and do whatever they're going to do. And it's terrible stuff that happens. Mm-hmm. You can't secret it away will it away. Well, I have this force field of love all around me.
So she had that kind of attitude.
Yes. Oh, fuck it.
Very primitive. Right. Yeah. Very primitive.
So have you seen the house that she – I got a picture. I saw a picture of the house of her where her grandma lived. Or I don't know.
I saw pictures too.
Is it like white trash, lower middle class?
I don't know. She didn't come off that way.
She didn't come off. Because I was thinking a theory was that she lived in that and then she met Travis and then
No. She was with that dude, Daryl Brewer, who in Palm Springs. They owned a house together in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that house. But they bought it together because it was affordable in the Springs at that time. And they're together like 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then when he made it very clear, I didn't want to get married. This is what she told me when we went out. That he didn't want to get married again. He's got a kid from a previous relationship. I could be a companion to you. I'm monogamous. I won't ever cheat on you. I like living with you, but I don't want to get married. I'm in my 40s.
And
I'm done.
She broke up.
And then she met – she got into our company and she met Travis and then dumped Daryl because she thought he could give her this life that she thought she wanted. Again, I didn't represent that.
Right.
It took me 2 years to realize that, by the way. For 2 years, I was freaked out like a spooked kid.
Right.
And for 9 months, I didn't even go out with a chick. I finally went out with my friend's sister just to buy a strange girl spaghetti and get her a glass of wine so I could smell some girl's hair and kind of go, oh, yeah, they're nice. They don't bite you. They don't chop your dick
so
off.
Did she ever give you the like, ugh, get away, you're too clingy? Did you ever get that feeling from her? Or you were just...
No, we only ever talked on the phone. Okay. And she never stalked. She never called me, stalked my phone or whatever. Like,
Did you ever meet Travis?
Yeah, we worked together. I mean, we knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we were friendly, but didn't really know each other because we didn't run in the same crowd.
We didn't discuss this when I talked to you. What's your take on him?
He was a good guy. I had no idea he had a problem with me until the tape came out because she told him all this bullshit.
Well, but I mean, he came from such horrible circumstances.
I knew his background. I respected the hell out of that guy because, I have a hangnail I bitch about it for 15 minutes. He came from a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Right.
He came from a lot. And he was one of the older siblings. And he was the leader of that family. And like when he started working in our company, he was like 19, 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
And it's sales. What we do is sales. I don't care what anybody fucking tells you, it's sales. Okay? Yeah. And you have to just learn to ask a few questions. And you got to learn something. There's no magic. Okay, you want to do something different, you got to learn something.
And he was successful.
Yeah, and with some fits and starts. It took a few years because he was a kid. Right. And then he started becoming, last few years of, he was really starting, he bought a house. He was starting to really make some cash. And to come from that to where he was, to where he was going.
Right.
And then he'd written a book, that he was going to try to put out himself and some powerful stuff. It was really sad, what had happened. But he was a good dude. He wasn't a saint. This thing pisses me off about these Jody supporter fucking pricks. They love to go on and
who are these people?
They're satanic. They're the spawns of fucking Satan is what they are. This is the thing that drives me crazy about these fucking idiot people is that what they will do is they go on about, well, he wasn't a saint. Okay, I missed that part where not being a saint deserves being murdered the way he was murdered.
That's ridiculous. Right. Yeah. That's
And you know what? And honestly, if I could trust my government to not fuck this up, this would be a good starter program for euthanizing. Like you get like the people that call on your phone, HLN reports it to the government. Right. Yeah, it was here. That's where they live. Oh, great. And then you have the goon squad guy show up to their house and kill them because they're stupid, you know? Because we always say, wouldn't it be nice to euthanize stupid people? Well, how do you go about doing that? Well, here's a good start.
Yeah.
Jody supporters. Right. You go to the Facebook pages.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I was Googling and I saw that, like some like Jody supporter page, and I just couldn't believe what I was reading.
Oh, and the shit that comes out of these people's mouths. We all worked in a certain company.
Right.
And obviously the Hughes family and a lot of those guys were Mormon. Mm-hmm. Now, we have the United Colors of Benetton in our company. We have everybody, black, Jew, Chinese, doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. A ton of people. But stuff that I had been reading. Mm. Oh, the Hughes family truly does own our company, and it's really a Mormon leg of the da-da-da-da.
It's some cult.
Yeah, and that me and Dave Hall are the minion agents of not only these people, but also the HLN mega conspiracy.
Wow. Yeah, I read that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, just the zenith of evil type stupid
they had a
shit.
It was an acronym for HLN.
Yeah, if you believe
– liars, and I don't know.
these people are on such a level that if you come up with a theory that Oswald did not act alone, you're a pussy. Yeah. You're a pussy.
Well, it's interesting. This is just an aside. I have great empathy for all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. I have zero tolerance of paranoia. I can't tolerate it. Yeah. It's just because it's something about not being able to reason with somebody or not being able to be reasonable and assess reality objectively.
Huh. It's arrogance.
But isn't that mental illness most of the time?
Usually, yeah. But some people just have a paranoid way of thinking all the time.
Right,
and
it's not technically
criteria for mental illness.
But isn't that born out of a fucked up version of The Secret? Like they get that way because life didn't treat them the way it was supposed to. So therefore, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's deeper because the thinking is so messed up. You can't be objective. Everything falls into their tweet system. Mm. It all feeds into a pool that you can't get out of. Yeah. You can't see anything objectively outside of that.
Right.
And that to me, it feels dangerous.
Yeah,
it feels disgusting.
Yeah,
on a marketing standpoint, you look at some of these pages have like 70 people.
I know.
And then the Travis page is like thousands.
But the problem, this goes to an interesting point about marketing, is that, and Adam screamed about this for years, that they're the letter writers. Mm. They're the ones that are out there on Twitter. They're the ones making a lot of noise. Yeah. And then advertisers and networks get fired. Somebody's writing a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
No, there's 70 million.
It's like Donald Wildman back in the 80s when he led that march against Last Temptation of Christ down Lancashire. By the way, all these Christians, I used to work at MCA Records back in the day, and all these Christian people, when they're marching 10,000 strong down Lancashire Boulevard, and this lady that rented a real estate agent who rented an office in the MCA building, she tried to navigate her Porsche through that line to go to lunch. They thought she was a person of the devil working there.
Oh, no.
They tore her Porsche apart with their bare hands. Praise the Lord, though.
Yeah. That's bizarre.
Anyway.
So Abe's had some interesting career twists and turns over the years. Tell Lynette what you've done.
I've been with my company about almost 11 years. And before that, I was substitute teaching. Before that, I worked at Sony for a while. I was in grad school, played in a couple of bands. I worked a couple of record companies.
So when you worked at Sony and MCA Records, was that during the time that it was starting to go falling apart because the iTunes and
Napster
old. And all that kind of
before
stuff?
No, I lived in black and white. This is when we lived in black and white. This was like the late
80s. You're not that old. You were 43 when you went on your date.
I'm 49 now.
Okay.
And I remember going back till I was three.
That's Adam's
age. That
makes
for a longer life.
Well, Abe, I got to have a little time with Lynette now. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Abe. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming.
I'll report to your lover, Bert, that everything's good. I didn't violate the sanctity of your relationship with him.
So. I'm concerned about that.
Abe Abdelhadi, everybody. Again, he's got a blog you can reach at The Real Deal.
At This Is The Deal.
At This Is The Deal. All right, what we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with Lynette Carolla alone and your calls after this. Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and I just want to thank you for joining the Dr. Drew podcast and supporting the Corolla Pirate Ship here at the Corolla Network. And please, just a reminder, tell a friend about these podcasts. That is how this thing grows organically, and that is how we want this to grow. We want it to be a community of people that connect, and we talk about interesting things. And by the way, feel free to give us feedback and stuff, particularly for my show, that you'd like to hear. We'll be happy to set it up on the program. And again, tell a friend and keep this pirate ship afloat. Back to the Doctor Podcast. A little taste of those groovy tunes. You know what I do, Lynette?
Yeah.
Lynette Corolla joins me today. I want to take a call on the heels of all that because there's a Jody call up there,
okay.
So we'll take that.
Okay.
Dorothy, what's up, Dorothy?
We're almost done with this part about Jody, huh?
Yeah, we're going to go on to the Corollas and their life. And I just found out during the break that they're moving, and my dear friend Adam Corolla didn't even tell me that. He's moving, like, into my neighborhood.
I know.
God damn it.
I know.
Ugh.
Congratulations. You made a great team. I used to listen to you two guys. Wonderful.
Well, we still do. You can get the Adam and Drew podcast. We still do it together. So it's actually still fun.
It's
great. She's not so much.
I don't know. You mean podcasting from my internet? Okay.
Yeah, no, the same way you could listen to this podcast, you can listen to me and Adam. We do a podcast together, too.
Okay, I'll look for it.
Thanks.
I sure will. Oh, gee.
On AdamCarolla.com.
AdamCarolla.com.
Okay.
We can also link through on DrDrew.com.
And DrDrew.com, yeah, too, under podcast.
It's harder to find, yeah. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Okay, what do you think? Listen, I've been I looked at the Facebook, and this is one time I'm really for Jody. You know, not Casey Anthony. She's a Floridian like me. I think I've maybe you can help me because I know you don't have time. Yeah,
please go ahead.
So I mean, about the dissociative disorder. My mom led a double life, and yeah, I grew up like that. And I tried to help out little Jody on the Facebook. I wrote to her people and said, "Hey, I know a little bit about Hollywood. If only Jody knew. You know, there are starlets." Hillbillied up Dr. Drew with babies that the public doesn't know about. I mean, I'll see who I know. I won't say more than one.
Well, Dorothy, let me slow you down. We're having trouble tracking you here. What do you mean your mom led a double life? What did she do?
Oh, okay. Listen, my dad was in the music business, so they just lived like friends all these years.
And she had
recently.
And what was the other life?
Having babies. She just took a lot of prescription sleeping, you know, meds all her life, a lot of allergy. She might be mentally a little deficient, a lot. She was like a artsy, but, you know, the mouthy, abusive.
What was the second life?
young men and having their babies. Why?
So
because her,
like
listen to this, her first child is made it very big when he was 20 years old in the movies.
Okay.
That was before me.
Okay.
So I kind of knew about him. I won't say his name. But as they lived as friends, mom and dad, had spawned a future celebrity in 1970. So
okay,
there
and
you
then
go.
what is the Jody connection here?
I think, you know, she shouldn't be compared to all the serial killers like they did on Facebook.
Okay,
don't you
think? Fair enough. I agree, she's not a serial killer. I think that's why. I'm of the opinion that it's the jury kind of did their job. That's why it was a difficult job for them, and that's why they kind of hung. But what are you saying about dissociative disorder? Because when I initially started talking about Jody, I did think she might have a disorder. Same thing with Casey Anthony. I thought maybe they have dissociative disorder. And Jody, the way she would sort of appear like the female attorney, Jennifer Wilmot. Crazy that we know all their names and stuff. But she would, you know, mirror her so exactly. I thought, oh, maybe this chick has a dissociative disorder and she just takes on whatever she's around and has many personalities and things. But I think it's more of the borderline quality that she's so empty that she's searching for an identity all the time. And somebody that she feels admires, she just automatically starts to mirror a little bit.
I hope we all learn. You know, and see, you're so open-minded. That's why you're such so wonderful. So that's right, because I heard you on Vinnie Politan, you know, say the dissociative. But, you know, they only have a lot of time on Vinnie's show, so.
Yeah, and in the podcasting, we kind of get into the stuff a little bit. And as the case rolled on, and, of course, we have DeMarte's testimony where she proved. I mean, it's an objective fact.
Right.
There's the testing. She has a borderline personality disorder.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Now people would go, well, what about the objective facts of the post-traumatic stress disorder? Yeah, that
not
was
so much.
Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
That was not so objective. Mm-hmm. It was not properly done. It was all kinds of problems. Mm-hmm. DeMarte seemed to be properly
done. It was all over the map.
It's all over the place. And by the way, if there was a person in the trial that had a post-traumatic stress disorder, it was a Stephen, Travis's brother. That's PTSD. He's sleeping at night. He can't sleep at night. He's having flashbacks. He can't. His marriage is falling apart. Mm-hmm. His kids are affected. Mm-hmm. That's PTSD. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Wow. Well, I was going to ask you that whole. Are we done with the with Dorothy?
Yeah.
The personality disorder and the dissociative.
Yep.
That's not a characteristic of borderline being.
Well, some people say that severe dissociatives are actually borderlines. And borderlines do have a kind of a flipping and a flopping quality
right.
to them, but they don't change into other people. I mean, true dissociatives really have no memory of being the other person and literally will take on a different identity with
and
a different autobiographical.
Was Casey Anthony that?
We don't know anything about Casey Anthony. Really, she never got on the stand. We never got any psych testing. Yeah. Well, I did talk to a psychiatrist who'd done some testing on her, and all he would tell me is that she had significant narcissistic spectrum, and that was about it.
Who doesn't, by the way?
I know, by the way. Jesus, you know what? Back in the day, back when sort of Freud started developing the whole idea of narcissistic structures, it was debated whether narcissistic personality disorder even existed.
Really?
That's how rare it was.
Really?
Now it's universal. It's everybody. Yeah, right.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, watching your show, watching the HLN show every night is like taking a course in psychology. And I use it in conversation, some of the terms that you use. And Adam's like, stop watching that Drew show every night.
Speaking of my asshole friend, Adam Carolla, why didn't you tell me that you guys are moving?
Because he's Adam.
What the hell?
That's Adam for you. Because he's not thinking about it. And it was pretty quick. We just, you know.
What are you doing with the house you're in?
We're going to rent it.
Lease it?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Hopefully. So. Look, can we talk about Adam for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure. That's why. I'm here. I'm at your service.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right.
By the way, let's start this out by saying he has asked us not to speak about him, has he not?
He has?
Well, hey, quit talking to my wife.
No, he's just saying that because, we get in an argument. I go and talk to you, and then I come home, and I have a clear picture of why we're arguing.
Okay,
and
so we're not – Gary's rushing in to solve this. So we can't whatever we talk about today, we must be open and share with him.
Yeah.
And we can't use it against him.
No.
We're not going to gang up on him. We're not going to split.
No. Anymore. I'm just trying to understand him.
Okay.
And how he relates to the kids and if the kids are going to have some of the, traits that Adam has and all that kind of stuff.
Let's start with that.
And let me also say, I love Adam.
I know that.
I love him. And I would never, ever want to, break up our marriage. I love him. And he knows that. And he loves me, I'm pretty sure. So, he's Adam. I mean, hello, can you people out there imagine being married to Adam? I mean, yes, he provides a wonderful life for me and the kids. He definitely, and he works hard, and he works his ass off. He provides a wonderful life for us.
Yes, he does.
But he's Adam.
Right.
So, he has a lot of weird quirks, and I'm just trying to figure it out.
Well, let's start with do the kids have any liability
right.
for this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I found something terribly fascinating talking to Chris and Ray. I've gotten to – they've been on here a few times.
Yeah, I heard the episode.
Hashed out a few stuff. Mm-hmm. But they felt that before they got their hands on him, he was a lot like Sonny.
Yes.
And Adam will say things like that too.
Right.
That there's a
– His
there's
sister
a,
too.
Well, so they're constitutional, genetic, something going on there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So – what you want to do, what did I say? Oh, Ray Chris is the episode 45, if you want to hear the episode.
It's
we
great
did two
episode.
With them, didn't we? Wasn't there another one, too?
One with just Ray.
Oh, yeah, Chris and Bob. I did Chris and Bob, which is another one.
It was a great episode.
Yeah. Adam, you got to remember, was severely neglected.
Yeah.
Severely. So that's Sonny on neglect.
Ugh.
And then abused by his peers.
Ugh.
Okay, so that's the combo. As I've sort of come to – Bob Forrest and Chris was episode 53. Mm. That's sort of the combo that I've started to think about in terms of the constellation of problems that came together that got him here.
So it was environmental –
Well, is there a sweeter child on earth than Sonny?
No, Sonny is the sweetest.
And this is what Chris and Ray said about Adam. Like, who is sweet? So we had to work on him.
Wow.
So we had to destroy that.
Oh, God. I should go destroy them.
Right?
Yeah.
But he was vulnerable. He was looking for a family.
Right.
They were like his cult.
Right.
Because he didn't have a family. He did not have anything with Chris and
Right. But now he's an adult. I mean,
yeah, but all that stuff's formed. I mean, there's a lot of biology in this.
If he went to therapy for years and years,
he did.
I know, but I think he's a little different now. Don't you think Adam's changed in the last 5 years, 10 years? I think he's changed in the last 10 years. Obviously he's very sure about himself. I think he was in the beginning of his career, and that's when I met him. Right, 3 months into Loveline is when I met him. He was, you know, he was enjoying his success and not, you know, too stressed out about things. But in the last 10 years, you know, I think that he seems very, you know, very sure about him. I'm going to try to put
some words to it. He's become angrier.
Yeah. And, I didn't want to use that word, but
Well, but I've noticed it. Bitter. More bitter.
Yes.
More bitter.
Yeah.
And his views are begging less alternatives.
Right. Right.
His point of view begs no alternative.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that when you're trying to get somebody to see your perspective can be frustrating.
Right.
Because particularly in certain circumstances, I bet he has real difficulty seeing other people's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Like if he's angry.
Right.
Then you have to not – it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Right.
And no therapy is going to change that.
Right. But with the kids, though, how is that
going
to
– Well, how's that going?
Well, I'll tell you, and he talked about this. Sonny had a play. I think he talked about it on his show. Sonny had a little play at his school, and he had a part that he played. He had two parts that he played. Very small. I mean, nothing. And and I was leaving to go to New York. I couldn't go to the play. And I said, Adam, you've got to go. He's very excited about this play. You got to go. And like a week earlier, he was like, yeah, I'll go. I'm going to go. And he was telling Sonny, I'm going to come see your play, blah, blah, blah. And then...
Are you getting emotional?
A little bit. Yeah. And then he the morning came, or no, right when I was packing the night before, he was like, I have to take a breath. Hold on. I feel like I'm like choking on my word. I'm not going to cry though. The night before, he was like, I can't go to Sonny's play. I can't. I've been working so much. I'm looking at a long day. He was doing the pilot. He was doing a pilot, and he's like, I got a full day ahead of me. Which, by the way, you've had those days times 1,000. You can do it. I know you can do it. But he was like, I can't. I can't. And I can't tell him anymore about the kids. Like, I was like, okay, well, if you can't, you can't. Because he, you know, he takes it very, he gets very defensive if I bring up the kids and I tell him how to, you know, act towards the kids. Sometimes he is receptive, but a lot of times he's very defensive. Are you saying I'm a bad dad? Are you saying? And no, that's not what I'm saying. But
could you have said in that moment, Sonny's really going to be disappointed? It's going to hurt his feelings?
I felt like if I said that, he would get really, and he did get up. Well, he did, yeah. I mean, in a roundabout way, at the first thing I was like, because I wasn't expecting that. So I was like, oh, God, I was disappointed. And then he got upset, and then he said, I said, well, what do you want me to say? Because he got upset. And I said, and I didn't. I was like, okay, well, you know, he is going to be upset. He's been excited for this thing. And I wish I could be there, but I can't. But if you can't, then you can't. And I don't know what you want me to say. And he goes, how about you say, he goes, how about you say thanks for providing for the family? And working so hard.
So isn't this, I would imagine behind that is the message is you shouldn't go to New York?
No, that's not, no.
You sure? No. Or delay your trip a day?
No, he wasn't doing that. Because I was going to New York for Mangria. If it was for something else, he would have given me shit. So it wasn't that. It was, he says that he doesn't want,
it was don't go to New York, yeah.
What?
Going to New York for Mangria?
Well, no, but I was. But there was another person I was going to interview for a podcast, by the way, for his
just
business.
Messing with you,
but look, that's a good point.
Could you wait until Saturday to go?
No, I had an event that next night in New York City
on
for Mangria.
Saturday night.
Wednesday night. I was leaving on a Tuesday night. It was Sonny had his thing Wednesday morning. I had an event on Wednesday night in lower, east side of in New York. So I couldn't. I would have if I could. So the thing was already planned and the Mangria was there and, you know, there was no way I was going to back out of that.
Well, there's sort of two things that occur to me.
Why should I, by the way?
Well, two things sort of occur to me. One is that he was so badly abandoned and neglected in the areas and things that he wanted support that it doesn't even get on his scale to miss something like this. You know what I mean? It doesn't register.
Right.
And so it doesn't occur to him what it's going to feel like for Sonny. And by the way, if it does bother him, he needs some grit. It won't be the big deal.
That's right.
It's not a football game against a rival. Right. That's another thing
I want to talk about, the
we'll
grit.
We'll talk about grit in a second. But it's not something that he identifies as, yes, I really am disappointing him. He doesn't see Sonny's perspective.
Right, right.
And all right, he may be onto something. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the providing for thing, which is he puts a lot of emphasis on that.
Yes, he does.
And do you guys ever talk about that?
Yeah, it comes up every argument. It comes up. And he was like, you know, I told you I lost my job, you know, 5 years ago or 4 years ago when KLSX, I got let go, that we're going to have to buckle down and we're going to have to make money and we're going to have to figure ways out to make money and blah, blah, blah. And that's when he started the podcast. And I need you to help. I need you to do stuff. I need you to blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I tell him, what do you want me to do? Show you my emails? I am helping. Like, what, you know, so it's, but I say, yes, okay, yeah, I know.
So is it a resentment that he provides and that you come along and so he sees you as
somehow?
It's a resentment.
Yeah, right? And it's not, I don't think it's just me. He has that resent thing that.
I wonder if there's a way he could have joy in providing without feeling resentful. Because I'm so happy I can do that.
Right. Well, there's times like, you know, in the new house, he's excited. He's like, he comes home and he's playing with the kids. And he's like, ooh, you guys are going to love the new house that daddy paid for. He's always got to bring that around. Dad, that's daddy's money. You know, that toy I did, you know, I bought that toy, you know, that kind of stuff. And then after a while, it's like, so he's got this chip on his shoulder that he's working hard. He needs to be. And here's the other thing. He needs to be like.
Respected. Or revered for it.
Revered. He wants to hear it. And I tell him, there's many a times that I do things for him and like very thoughtful things for him to make his life easier. It doesn't even register.
Could you step, well, it's going to be hard for him because he's not used to receiving anything like that.
Right, doesn't notice.
But can you step that up?
Yeah, I have been. Yeah, yeah. I mean, actually last night he said, Lena, I have to tell you, you've been wonderful and you've been doing really good.
Wow.
He did that. Yeah, he did say that last night. Yes. And I appreciate that.
But don't be resentful. That's not a small thing.
Right.
And it's real progress, too, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. on both your part. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, okay, so he fucked up over here with missing Sonny's thing, but you've got progress over here.
Right. That's true. Yeah. There's a lot of times where I think that Adam acts away because he thinks he's supposed to act too.
Nah.
Well, when it comes to intimate relationship, like when he was doing Love Line with you, and we were dating, maybe it was after we got married. You know, he would say, "How was your day?" Because you would talk about relationships on the show, I think, and then he would say, "How was your day?" He brings things up. Even though he does not want to hear about it, like he'll say, "What's going on with your friend Jody?" You know what? You know, because she's having.
Yeah, but that's. But all men do that,
right? I agree.
It's good for us.
Right, that's fine. But here's the thing: it'll last for about a minute, 30 seconds,
and then
it turns to him, and then he talks about he talks about what he wants to talk about, not even about him. Sometimes
can you stop him and go, "I need you to just sit and listen for a minute"?
There are times where I'm like, "All right, me," you know. And he laughs about it. I have to figure out what mood he's in.
Okay.
If he's in that mood, yes.
But you should be a little more direct. That's still a little bit.
I have been direct,
which is like. Hang on, I just need you to hear this. I know it's boring, but please just listen.
Well, we had an argument at Christmas time when I was watching Homeland, and I was like, "This is a great show, Adam." And he's like, "I know, I hear it's good, but I don't have time to watch it." Blah blah blah. He has time to watch it. And I was really like into it. And it was Christmas time. He was home. He wasn't working, and I was in the kitchen cooking. And I said, "Let me tell you about the plot of what's going on in the show because it's really interesting. You know, it's got the terrorism and, you know, Homeland Security." And I started explaining to him, and he was like, "Oh," he's like, "Hold on a second. What's up with this jump rope handle? Why would they make it? That's just like, what? Who makes jump rope handles?" Like, and then he with the jump rope handle for 5 minutes, and then right, all right, I'm gonna go skip my rope. Like, no engaging into a conversation about. So I brought it up. Nicely later, and I said, "You know, I was trying to tell you something that was interesting to me," and blah blah blah. And he goes, and then turn into an argument because he gets defensive with that. He gets defensive. And what kills me is he's on this show going, people need to change. People need to be receptive. When I tell somebody, you know, when do the laundry, you put the colors with the black and the black with the white and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, people go, hey, man, I do it my way. But when I'm telling him.
Hold on. You guys ever heard that before? I never heard that one before. Yeah, heard that? Okay.
When I'm telling him stuff that's how to be a human being and how to relate with people, then he gets defensive. And I told him that too. I said, "Well, don't get defensive." Don't. And he was trying not to, but he was. And I cannot. That's when I when it comes to him with the kids and blah blah blah, I can't tell him what to do. The therapist, my therapist said, you know, in a nice way, and in when you know it's right, you say, you know, you set up a day of taking the kids to the zoo. Like you know, you say, hey, Adam, on Wednesday, you're going to take the kids to the zoo and the, you know, you're going to have a great time. And he said, oh, yeah, he'll do it. Like, I have to direct him how to, you know. So,
how do you know what?
Well, I have to direct
be
him.
Human
being. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it. Like, you know what
is
I mean?
Is that the word you were going to say?
Yes, of
I
course.
Felt that coming
of course.
You.
Well, what else do you, I don't know what to say.
Well,
One more thing about the homeland. During that argument, he said, you're right. I'm never going to care about homeland conversations. I don't. I'm not going to care about that stuff. And so you're not going to care about stuff that I want to talk about? Is that, you know? And in that moment,
but that's
what
he was
saying.
That's sort of normal husband-wife stuff. That really is.
Fine if you're a normal husband, but he's not a normal husband. And that brings me. That brings me to the grit.
Oh, yeah.
Grit. I agree with the grit. I agree. That's fine, but when you're yelling at Natalia or directing Natalia and being tough with her or Sonny when they become teenagers or even now, it's going to hurt them because I see it because he does it to me and it's hurtful. Why? There's no balance. He yells about the grit, but there's no – it's if you were doing it or Jimmy Kimmel was doing it, somebody that knows how to be a human being – it's different. But when you get, I'm going to go skip my rope, I'm not interested in what you say, and then you get the yelling about the grit, it's hurtful. And that's what worries me, the kids.
But then he gets to take them to the zoo, and they do have a connected experience.
Yeah, he does. But I have to,
see,
you know.
It'd be troubling if they didn't have the connected part when they need it.
Well.
That's when it would be a problem. And I believe he works hard at being connected. And I think he likes it, and I think he feels good about it. And I think he's glad he does it.
Yeah.
But it's hard for him. It's not natural for him.
Right. It doesn't come natural.
Right, because of his experience.
But what do you
think? So it is you. It is you to cultivate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, that's a good thing.
Sometimes. But then sometimes, like with Sonny's play, he gets irritated and mad.
I know, but it's not going to be perfect.
Right. But, you know, I don't know. I just – he's
– well, here, let's go back to those moments like with the handle, with the jump rope handle. Because that's
every night of my life. He comes home – sorry to cut you off. He comes home from the podcast and he'll go, what's going on? You know, like, how you doing? I'm on the laptop. Kids are asleep. I'm on my laptop. I'm answering emails, blah, blah, blah. He comes walking in. What's going on? When he says what's going on, he wants to talk about what's going on with Mangria, what's going on with, you know, his shit. If I talk about what's going on with something else in my life, he'll listen for about, you know, 2 minutes, if that. And then he'll start talking about other stuff and talk about – or not even that. He'll just come in and I'll say, how you doing? How was the show? And then he'll go on and on and on and on and on. And then when I start talking about homeland, he – all right, mama, I'm going to bed now. Good night. And walks out. Love you. I mean, every night he hugs and kisses me goodnight. He tells me he loves me. Every, you know, I mean,
so, you just
so he's
need,
not
need more listening, which is not uncommon. A lot of women complain about that.
That's again, that's fine if you're Drew.
Well, that because, but I'm going to get that other part. I know the other part. I'm going to get that.
You
in
know,
a second.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I think that handle, the jump rope handle, is that spot.
Right.
I think that's that spot.
Okay,
which is,
go.
Well, what it seems like is in moments. He can't take other perspective.
Right.
He does not have an awareness of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels very disconnected. It feels very shut down. It feels very cold.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It feels a little scary even because mm-hmm. then if you try to reach out, you get mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. axe. You get
right.
some angry back.
Right.
So how do you manage that? How can you create a more of an openness when you need to talk? That there's a willingness to take your perspective
when he's not in that. He has to be in the right mood.
Okay. Well, that's right.
Right. But sometimes if, and then I only get a certain amount of time to talk about
I know exactly.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know, but the right mood thing, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And
right.
So you need to find a way to like create a catchword or some way you can like hear like out of my, this is one of those moments again where I need you to just listen to me for 10 minutes and really do pay attention.
Right.
And not and just like when he's in a good mood, mm-hmm. talk to him about creating those opportunities or those ways to reach him when mm-hmm. he's not in that good mood.
Right.
When he's in those other moods.
Well, when he's in those other moods, that's when I just you have to
agree.
You just
don't even try.
Well, you don't even try. Or if you want to go to bed and be done with the conversation, you have to just agree. And he says he doesn't do it just with just me. He does it with
me.
You. Yes, he does it with a lot of people. I hear it on the radio show. You have to agree with him. And if you don't, he gets pissed, doesn't he? He gets angry.
It's hard to end a conversation if you bring something alternative
right,
up.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's impossible. Yeah. I mean, so what I mean.
Well, that's a perspective taking, which is part of his genius and part of it makes things so clear for him. Mm-hmm. But it also makes it difficult when you're needing emotional attention. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind it.
Right. Well, I know.
But
I don't. And I hear him tell you, shut up, Drew, about Chris Laxamax having a seizure or something. And he's like, and it's like, oh, my God, you shut up.
Doesn't bother us at all.
All right. I know. But when you're married to that.
Well, it's a lot of this stuff is male-female stuff.
Really?
Yeah. It does feel like it. And I understand what you're talking about and why it's exacerbated for you guys. But I've heard this back. Remember when I used to do that show, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From
Yeah.
Venus? A lot of the conversation right. was about these kinds of issues, about how do you get men to pay attention and listen when women want to be listened to,
right?
And receive from women, you know, and then create reciprocity, you know.
Right.
It's hard.
But here's the problem I have in the day to day. You're married to somebody who's not interested in what you're doing. You know what I mean? And then if you say that to him, you go, well, what are you doing? Well, what's going on? That's exciting. You know, you want to talk about Bruce? You know, it's like that. You get that. It's like, no, of course, right? I mean, yeah, I don't want to talk about Bruce. It's just, how do you, in the day-to-day being...
You have to find a way to get him to understand that by not being interested, that yes, you're not doing all the exciting stuff he does,
right.
but you're doing stuff that's meaningful to you. And right. and if he doesn't...
But Drew, that's not in his nature.
I understand.
Yeah.
None of this is in his nature.
Right.
But you got to find a way to have this conversation with him, which is you got to appreciate mm-hmm. what I'm doing mm-hmm. when I'm doing it because it's mm-hmm. important to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even though it seems like Bacos to you,
right.
this classic Bacos
right.
thing.
But with the kids, really too. With kids, too. He's just, I mean, he's doing the same thing. I hate to say it. He's doing the same thing his parents did.
Which is what?
Not showing up at their things. And tossing it off to, I ain't going to remember anything. I'm going to stand there and what's he playing, a cactus? You know, it's that he's doing the same thing. Of course Sonny knows he's not there. When I got back from New York, he cried.
Does Adam know that?
No.
Why you tell him that?
Because it's going to start an argument.
Why argument?
He's going to, all right, what do you want me to do?
You have to then not get into a defensive mode. You have to go, here's what I'd like you to do. Next time, go.
Mm-hmm.
One of us has to go. We have to figure this out.
That thing was ridiculous. I mean, that's
that, that, that conversation.
I wanted to say to him, Adam, you've had longer days. What are you talking about? You got to go and be in Covina or whatever and then do a podcast?
No, I understand.
Please.
But that's you be creating defensiveness in him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like, mm-hmm. like, why can't you?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, yeah, I know it's hard, but we got to step it up for this kid.
Right.
Something we just got to do.
But here's the thing. I see what's going on, and this is what worries me. In our day-to-day life, the kids are doing stuff at school. They come home with their stuff or whatever. Adam's not interested at all. Of course he's not interested. I'm not interested in everything, you know. But you got to act like you're interested. So that's the thing that I need to figure out how – to get him
engaged.
And what do I do? Say like a safe word, you know, Adam, engage, you know, or whatever, so that he snaps to it and figures it out. Or because there are times where I tell him, you know, you need to really blah, blah, blah. And then he will do that because I told him that. Like, you know.
And I understand he doesn't want to be one of those parents that makes everything an exceptional thing and a big right. deal. Everything, but that's a difference than – I think what's missing is he doesn't appreciate that it's important to the kids.
That's Exactly.
And just the way your work is important to you.
Right.
He has to appreciate the importance of that.
Right.
I remember Susan and I were, I think we're still dating, and she used to make me dinner. I used to work. I was crazy workaholic. I wouldn't even come home for dinner. Mm-hmm. And she'd have something there like at 10 o'clock at night when I'd get home. And I'd go, look, I don't really want to eat. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. And she like, no, no, no. And then I was like, I really don't. I. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She got offended,
right.
And angry.
I heard that.
You remember the story? Mm-hmm. And I was confused. Just, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was like, no, no, this was important to mm-hmm. her to mm-hmm. make the, and she wanted me to appreciate
right.
that she was offering this to me. It's kind of like he and I both have this problem. It's more like accepting a gift from somebody.
Right.
It's hard to accept that somebody's. It's important that I accept the offering because
right.
that offering is important to that other person.
Right.
It's a
right.
similar place where right. all this exists. It's,
that I can live with because, by the way, that's exactly what happened during that Christmas break, too. I made him a nice, you know, pot roast dinner. He came in. He sat with his back towards me and watching the television and then got up. And that's what I was trying to talk about, Homeland, and then went and skipped his rope. I was like, okay. So.
But again, we miss it. You've got to say. I think maybe it is that's important to me. This is important to me. Or this is.
Yeah.
Eventually he'll start. He'll get on you about that. We'll have to have another word after a while. Mm. But I think maybe understanding it's important. I know it's not important to you. It doesn't seem like much. It's important to me.
Right. But the school, he's so cynical when it comes to. And I know it sounds like I'm complaining about.
It
but
makes
this
for
is,
great material in the Adam and Drew tour, though, I got to tell you.
Oh, really?
Oh. It's awesome.
What you mean? Him complaining about school?
About the walking, walking for what was that thing we had to walk for?
Yeah, walking recess.
Walking recess.
I agree. There's a lot of stupid things that they do, but don't be cynical in front of your kids. He bashes it all the time in front of them, and I don't really like it. You know, it's like we're trying to get him excited. I said, Adam, the kids are trying to learn how to read, and Natalia's going to bring you a book, and she's going to read with you before she goes to bed. And he'll say, okay, and then he'll sit for a few minutes, and there's times where he goes, ah, forget it. Let's tell jokes.
No,
he's done that a lot.
He has to dedicate.
All right. Or he criticizes the book. Oh, this is real interesting. And then he sailed away. Wow. You know, it's like he's so cynical. And I understand the grit, and I understand that the school is ridiculous.
But that's the
but
cynicism.
There's no balance.
Okay, so that's another thing. We have a little solution, which is this is important to fill in the blank. So this is important.
Okay.
The cynicism is in that sort of bitterness zone that we were both noticing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that's about?
It goes to the same. It's the same. It's in the same family of I work and I need to be.
I'm
revered.
Put upon. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm put upon. I'm amazed how much extracurricular stuff he does. I don't know how he does that.
Well,
with cars and stuff.
He's amazed at himself too. And when
I got time for work and family. That's
right.
It.
Well,
that's all I got time
he
for.
He doesn't really make time for the family. I mean, he does, but I don't know. But he's very impressed with himself. I would be too if I won the Toyota Grand Prix too. And he's right. I mean, and he's a lot of things he does is incredible, and a lot of things he does is great. And he's very impressed with himself, but he wants more. He wants another. He wants more of it. He wants to hear the cheerleading side out of me. But he doesn't get upset or anything. But it bothers it a little. It's not that it bothers him. I can't think of the word. But he wants to hear more. Because if I want to talk to Adam, I have to talk about him. So if at
but
night,
but you should do that. You should try to do that.
Talk about him?
No, no. I know you do plenty of that. But I mean, more gratitude. More gratitude. Because
okay.
I don't think there can be enough of that.
Okay.
Because he does really do an amazing job of providing for you guys. And so mm-hmm. the gratitude needs to be.
I do. Yeah. I do do it.
I think with gratitude will come the paying attention to what's important to you.
Right.
I suspect. But mm-hmm. that still doesn't go with the bitterness so much.
The bitterness.
Because he should be having less now, right?
Right.
More success, more autonomy, more extracurricular, great family, great kids.
Right.
Why more bitterness? I
was
surprised when I came back after being away for a while.
I knew it. I told that to Susan. I said, wait till Drew gets 3 episodes in with sitting next to him. He's going to see a difference in Adam.
Well, it's just I told him. Mm-hmm. I told him about it. Mm-hmm. You seem,
I heard.
It was more furrowing in the brow.
Right, right.
And
he's getting angry with the environment, with the city, with everything.
Do you think the shit he takes for taking sort of right-wingy opinions actually gets through to him?
No. He doesn't care about
that's
that.
The bitterness.
No.
Because it should be less, right?
Yes, but he's bitter because he makes all this money and he has to pay all his money in taxes and he has to look at graffiti on the side. I mean, everything he complains about Los Angeles on this show is he complains just as much at home and in the car as we're driving. He points it out. I mean, he's obsessed. He's too obsessed with it. And that's – there's and Drew, here's the other thing. Okay. I know. Well, it's funny to you and everybody, but here's the other thing. He talks about his family a lot and how shitty they are.
Well, hold slow down. Right. He has a thing with his family?
Right.
Really?
Right. Are you sitting down?
What? Yeah, listen. Lynette. He and I broadcasted, 11 years ago, 10 years ago? Every night we drove home. After we got off the air, we would sit on the phone for 30 minutes. And in that 30 minutes, 87% of the time complains about his mom and
grandma. That's our conversation. We go out to dinner on date night. We talk about his family. And he complains. And
maybe back to therapy. Maybe that would help.
Well, here's the thing. I noticed that when I first started dating him. I thought that was odd that he kept bringing his parents up and his family up and his blah, blah, blah. Because everybody has a shitty – I mean, a lot of people – I had a shitty childhood.
Yeah.
But I don't harp on the fact that my mother grabbed me by my hair in front of my friends and, you know, dug her nails. I don't – he doesn't even know about some of the stuff that happened. So it's like –
Well, but put it in the context. Remember where we started this conversation. He was a little sunny, so he's very sensitive.
Right.
So really – And neglect is considered one of the worst forms of abuse, too, by the way.
Wow.
Most long-standing. You know, it affects their biology and stuff.
Well, I believe it, but he holds on to it. Why is he holding on to it? Why does he have to talk about it?
He's in pain about it all the time.
See, could be part of the bitterness, is that he's so successful and he still is not acknowledging.
It carries the pain. So it's juxtaposition now. It stands out. That pain stands out in relief against what he's able to accomplish.
Right. And and not only is he not appreciated through his family, but his sister is like, you know, a lot of times like, you know, you're a dick for not
Here's what we need to do. We need another podcast. I will bring Cheryl Arrett in here, who I know you're a big fan of.
I love her.
And we will dig in on this very issue.
I would love that.
Because she's a very fine therapist.
I learn every night on the show because of her.
Yeah. So let's wrap this podcast up. I will have you back in with Cheryl Arrett. And I know she's obviously someone that comes all the time on HLN show, and she's also knows a lot about Jodi Arias. You can dig into her the way you did into Abe, and you'll have touched and felt all the main players.
I know. Now you need – I just need Mark Iglarsh, and I'll be
Mark I had on the phone the other day. If he's ever out here, I'll bring him in.
Okay.
The great Lynette Carolla is with me. We will do it again. At Lynette Carolla. At – For Crying Out Loud, right, Carrie?
Yes.
At For Crying Out Loud?
At
Ace Moms. For Crying Out Loud is the podcast, and the website is
cryingoutloudshow.com.
Great. Lynette Carolla, we'll see her again soon.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
This is Corolla Digital.